You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers deliver a wire-to-wire ass-kicking of quote-unquote rival Illinois in Champaign. Absolutely one of the best performances of the Mike Woodson era, as the Hoosiers shook off a couple of early turnovers to just storm out to a big lead that they protected all game long. And there were a few tense moments there in the second half with Jalen and Trey picking up four fouls and a little 9-0 run by Illinois. And I know none of us were comfortable, but to Indiana's credit, they just never let Illinois get back into the game. A terrific performance by a program that had its back against the wall heading into that Wisconsin game. And what do? They uncork two straight terrific defensive efforts, playing hard, playing focused, playing together. And the Hoosiers have breathed new life into their season now at 12-6, 3-4 overall, and with another big road win on the season. Just a terrific night of basketball for your Indiana Hoosiers. And we're going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU Postgame Show. I'm Jared Morris, here with Andy Bottoms and the coach, Jeff Marlowe. And guys, let's start this show the way that we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment, I'm going back to the end of the first half. Because again, you know, Indiana really took control, ended up leading, I think, by 19 points at one point. And Illinois made a little surge there at the end of the first half. They cut it to 11 on a Terrence Shannon three. And it really felt like it was a huge possession coming up for Indiana. Because if you're Illinois, you're just trying to get it, you know, under 10 going in to halftime, you know, try and get a little bit of life. And Trace Jackson Davis took over. You know, it was kind of in this first possession, they just got it to him on the block. He backed Dane Danger down, scored, put Indiana back up 41-28. Jalen Huchefino went on to turning it over. Melendez got a dunk. That cut it to 41-30. Kind of a disjointed IU possession. Trace just decides to take it himself. Ends up scoring and getting fouled. It's 43-30 Indiana. Either Shannon or Melendez would hit a three to make it 43-33. But those two plays by Trace Jackson Davis at the end of the first half prevented it from being a 6 or an 8-point game. And then he came right out at the start of the second half and did it again and scored, I don't even know what it was, 10 of the first 12 or 12 of the first 14 points, whatever it was for Indiana. But Trace Jackson Davis was absolutely phenomenal tonight, playing like an All-American, 35 points on 15 of 19 shooting, as Brad Underwood decided that single covering him was a good idea, and Indiana just kept going to him. He added 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks on the night. He was absolutely terrific, and in what really, you know, ended up being one of the most critical junctures of the game there at the end of the first half, he helped Indiana protect that lead that they would nurse for the rest of the game, because Illinois never got any closer than that. Trust me, we will have much more to say about Trace Jackson Davis's performance as we go through this game. But now, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Yes, our banner moment tonight, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their second as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And ladies and gentlemen, Home Field Magic is back. Because, look, we can credit the team and the coaching adjustments and everything, but I think we also have to credit this shirt. The new women's basketball shirt celebrating the 1983 Big Ten Championship that is part of the brand refresh for Home Field Apparel. Since I ordered this shirt, the women knocked off top 25 Maryland. Indiana got its season turned around against Wisconsin, and they just went on the road and beat Illinois. This shirt is 3-0 with 3 huge victories. You might say that it doesn't have anything to do with Home Field Magic. I say it does. But seriously, if you haven't checked out the brand refresh, not only is there this shirt, they have some great new hoodies, some new crew necks, and some of this stuff goes away on Friday. So we're doing this show on Thursday night. Some of this stuff goes away on Friday. You've got to go to homefieldapparel.com, use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get some of this new stuff. And it's not just Indiana. They've got some other schools that they've done a refresh for. There's a bunch more refreshes coming in 2023. Home Field Magic, alive and well. get some stuff, support the men's basketball team, support the women's basketball team, and do it at Home Field Apparel, supporting a great company that we love and we really appreciate their support. Go to homefieldapparel.com, promo code HOME to get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Wear one for the team. Okay. Well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And we will start with Andy Bottoms. Andy, your Bottoms line on this impressive Indiana victory.
You know, on a personal note, a memory popped up on my timeline today. 7 years ago today, I was at Assembly Hall with my dad, watching Yogi Ferrell break the assist record. And last game I got to go to with him, and good memories, great memories. Went to Knicks before. So kind of had maybe a little bit of a good feeling about today, but
heck yeah, man.
Although I texted you guys still, I long for the days when an 18-point lead with 12 minutes left is something I feel good about. But so good memories, another victory over, as you said, a quote-unquote rival, and my dad would enjoy this one tonight for sure. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, really, I look at, you know, maybe the meaningful moment is the timeout called. IU gets down 4-0, really ugly start. Have lamented at times Woodson not being quick on the trigger with some of these timeouts, and totally righted the ship from there. They took control of the game almost immediately and really kept going back to what worked, really until it had issues with the press a little bit there. Just felt like, particularly in the second half, IU was just scoring whenever they wanted to. Some really fluid offense, and you know, Geronimo being that third guy again, stepping up for the second game in a row. And making some really positive contributions. And really the defense, you know, the way I had it, I think Illinois ended up with 1 point per possession even for the game. But, you know, realistically, they scored a little bit at the end, and IU ended up at 1.23, and that was with scoring 1 point in the last five trips. So really a dominant performance. And for a team that has struggled at times to really stem the tide when the other team goes on a run, you mentioned that with Trace. There was a sequence of the four points in a row from Trey Galloway in the second half when it kind of felt like things were starting to tighten up a little bit. I don't want to steal Coach Marlowe's thunder on that, so I won't elaborate any more on that. But yeah, this team just had a great response whenever Illinois started to put a little bit of pressure on, and a few more like these, maybe I'll breathe a little bit easier late in some of these games where they're ahead. But I guess a good problem to have to be up that much on the road in a big game, but. Huge performance from them. I think, you know, Ryan said probably the best performance of the season. I think given the personnel that we're missing in this one and the situation, it's kind of hard to argue otherwise. So really great performance from this team, especially against a really fundamentally sound Illinois team that only committed 7 fouls the entire game.
Yes. Oh, yes. Dude, my wife kept coming into the room. She's like, are they still up, you know, 14-16? She's like, are you comfortable yet? I was like, nope. Comfortable yet? Nope. Probably 2 minutes left. She's like, are you comfortable? I was like, kind of. Moderately comfortable. Coach Marlowe, your opening thoughts on this Indiana victory.
What a difference a week makes. You know, we were here last week and it was kind of doom and gloom. The season was over, you know, change coaches, everything. And now here we are and we're all smiles. We're happy. The chat's happy. I mean, you know, the nature of the fan base, I guess. But I want to say this. I was pretty critical last week. I want to say that were adjustments, things like that. They aren't big adjustments. Coach Woodson's not going away from Kyrie's core, but there is more action to get the ball initiated in the half court offense. I saw some staggers tonight. I saw an Iverson cut into a play, into a set. I saw some floppy. I saw the double high ball screen. There were just different things to get them into the action, which is, again, was trying to get the ball inside to the post primarily. But at least they were using a different action. And that's all that to me, that's great. Fine. Just do that. And you're going to at least move people, move defense. And it opens things up. I heard you guys talk about this on Sunday after Saturday after the Wisconsin game. Get Trace away from the basket a little bit, get him the ball, let him operate a little bit. When he didn't get to the rim, he made some nice decisions with the pass to get assists. So kudos to the coaching staff for making those subtle adjustments. I thought the timeout was huge at the beginning of the game because I thought that we sometimes let things go too long, slow starts. And then I also was going to point out Trey Galloway, and Andy took my thunder there. But that was the only point of the game where I got worried. When they finally threw the press on, and we looked like we weren't very good at knowing how to break a press, and we got two straight 10-second counts. And I think another turnover beyond. Oh, yeah, Jalen got called for an offensive foul when we did break it. I was like, ah, now I was getting worried. And then Trey got the runner, and then they got the run out off of the rebound from Galloway, or excuse me, from Geronimo to Galloway. So, but I just thought, you know, the kids, I want to finish with this. And I didn't say this to you guys the other day because I wasn't on the show, but I was texting with friends. When I watched them on Saturday against Wisconsin, I just had a gut feeling that there had been some kind of team meeting. And it came out the other, I think it was yesterday or the day before Mike Woodson's availability, that Trace Jackson Davis had organized a players-only meeting. And sometimes you have to have that. When things are going rough and you're got some guys injured, guys are kind of sulking, you need that. And I kudos to Trace if that was, you know, for him doing that. And I think that we may look back at that and be like, that's what really defined the season.
Absolutely. And look, I don't think you can talk enough about what Trace Jackson Davis did tonight. I mean, look, you know, Indiana loses the foul battle 9-20, Andy, as you said, just because of Illinois being really fundamentally sound and not fouling. Indiana turned the ball over 17 times. Illinois turned it over 9. So you go into this game, you tell any Indiana fan that, not to mention Illinois goes 8-19 from three-point range and Indiana's 3-9. And I know this isn't inside the numbers, but you look at those three numbers right there and you're thinking, boy, this is going to be really hard for Indiana to win. But Indiana had the biggest advantage in the game, which was Trace Jackson Davis down low. You know, and Coach Marlowe, to your point, there was a lot of different stuff happening offensively, especially in the first half. They got Trace the ball in a lot of different areas. But once the second half came around, Andy, and Illinois clearly wasn't going to change their coverage, it's like, well, I mean, if we just keep dumping it to Trace on the block, he's going to score. And look, if they're going to single cover him, none of us have a problem with that, right? Usually the complaints are, well, it's double and triple coverage, and you just keep stubbornly putting it in there. But, you know, I really thought from an offensive standpoint, you know, Indiana made some nice adjustments, but then went back to the stuff that was working and just kept doing it. And Illinois had no answer for Trace, who kind of, you know, as we talked about in the Wisconsin game, he's got his quickness back. You know, he's able to, you know, not just do the little jump hook, but kind of do the spin. And you know, that leads right into dunks. And he was just tremendous. But, you know, I think, Coach Marlowe, to your point, there was a lot of consternation, you know, after that Penn State game, especially with the defense. And Andy, you know, we saw tonight, and Coach Tonsoni, you know, was texting us about this. You know, we know Indiana's running this kind of nail slot rim defense, you know, which really can put the guy who's in the nail in a difficult spot, you know, from a help perspective, because he's got to stop the drive and also be able to recover out to his man. And what you saw is Indiana was not doing that with Shannon and Meyer. You know, they were allowing that guy to just stick there and not come in and help as much. And that helped to prevent some of those mad scrambles that we saw. And so Illinois was still able to make some threes. You know, Shannon hit some tough shots. Melendez hit one. Tip your cap to those guys. But you just saw a lot less of the scrambling around on defense, and that's the second straight game now against a much different style offense where the defense has just been much, much more solid. And that is what is so encouraging coming out of this game. Different venues, different styles, but the defensive impact has been very similar. And that's a credit to the coaches for adjusting a little bit what they're doing and to the guys for being out there, making it work, and getting back to playing connected defense.
Yeah, on the defensive side, that was a question that we had. That was one of our lingering questions coming out of the game. This worked, really sticking close to shooters, and I think it was more than just a couple guys against Wisconsin. They were really staying pretty tight on everybody in that scenario. And so you look at, okay, is that just a function of Wisconsin's personnel? That works well there. They have fewer guys that are able to really break you down. And, there were, you know, moments tonight, but even some of the shots that Illinois hit were contested shots or shots that you'd kind of be willing to give up, a lot of one-on-one. I mean, I think I wrote down Illinois didn't get their first assist until there was under 6 minutes left in the first half. You're just forcing guys to beat you one-on-one in that scenario. And what they were able to do, one of the times, I think Kopp got a steal on this because they're sticking a little bit closer. I think it was Shannon. He drove baseline a couple times, tried to throw a pass down to the corner, and Kopp picked one off because he just wasn't so far inside the lane that he could recover out and steal the pass. So I thought you saw better activity there. Danger got hot a little bit in a couple spots where he was able to really get going. But overall, thought IU forced them to take more of the shots that IU wanted them to take as opposed to the shots that Illinois wanted to get. And if you think back to the Penn State game, it was the exact opposite. Penn State got whatever it wanted. IU didn't make them uncomfortable, and really kind of just devolved the Illinois offense tonight into a lot of those one-on-one type plays, and they're going to win a few of those. But I thought, you know, the IU defenders really more often than not rose to the occasion, even on those one-on-one plays. You got Trace able to play back and alter shots there. And yeah, definitely encouraging signs from the defense for sure. And then Trace, as you said, on the offensive side, you know, second half possessions, gets a hook, you know, makes a hook shot, gets an and one layup, dunk. He didn't get any, he didn't score on the next possession, but IU did get points on the Galloway foul and the Underwood technical, which bought Illinois 13 minutes without getting called for one. Then, you know, Trace missed the hook, you know, which, and then that turned into a turnover from Jalen Hood-Schifino, but then TJD dunk, TJD inside. So, I mean, he's got, I think he had 11 points in the first eight possessions of the second half for IU, and really was the guy that was the focal point of most of those. And it was definitely, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Illinois was just throwing anybody they could come up with off the bench, and they just took turns getting absolutely abused in one form or fashion by TJD.
Good friend of the show, Mike DeCourcy, who we obviously appreciate, does a weekly segment with us in our community, posted his mid-season All-America teams, of which Trace was not on it, and he and I had a friendly back and forth with my disagreeing. I wonder if Mike would change that up after this performance on the road, because Trace was an All-American tonight. I mean, yeah, that was spectacular. Jeff, do you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I had two things. First of all, with DeCourcy, you need to ask him about the fact that he didn't have IU in the tournament in his latest bracketology. As bad as we've been, I'm not sure we're out of the tournament at this point.
Well, especially getting a road win like this will certainly propel our case forward.
And I want to say, we've talked a little bit about this, you know, at different times kind of in our group, and you texted or you tweeted this out. That win at Xavier is going to look better and better that we had earlier in November. But anyway, the thing I want to talk about was defensively. Coming out of that Penn State game after three straight games like that, the closeouts were at best lackadaisical, if not non-existent. How many times did we see kids, the players just kind of not even rotate out? They'd get caught in the overhelp. One person would rotate out. Their team would make one more pass, and we just give wide open threes. The last two games, and I saw it tonight too, the kids are rotating, and they're not giving up on the play. They're running out. They're at least challenging shots. Illinois hit a couple, but like we've said all along, make them uncomfortable. And I thought that's what we've done a better job of in the last couple of games with that. And then they're communicating better. All the players are on the floor. You can see it. There's a better communication the last two games defensively. They're connected. They know where they're supposed to be. They know who they're supposed to be guarding. I think one thing that has helped, I think that they were trying to do too much switching one through five before, and they've kind of cut back on some of the Trace isn't switching as much. He still switched some tonight, but it's not always, I don't see a straight one through five switch sometimes. There's just maybe a one through three or a one through four, meaning that your position players, the point guards, you know, and stuff, they're all switching based on who the matchup is. But I think that's helped them. And again, this is what we thought the defense was going to look like. I'd be interested to see what the data looks like for just these last two games of what our defensive efficiency would be, you know, and see if we can extend this out. And then the other thing, we took it on the road. Again, this has been the one question with this team and kind of with Mike Woodson since he's got here. We've struggled on the road, especially getting leads early and being able to hold on to them. Kudos to the players tonight and to the staff. Thought it was, the game plan was really solid.
There's no question. I think it's also worth saying, you know, it takes two to a lot of times, you know, in the Big Ten to create a blowout like this. Just like in the Penn State game. Penn State played really well. We played terrible. My guess is on whatever Illinois postgame shows they may have, they're not very happy with their effort. I thought that was a pretty lifeless performance from Illinois. Certainly disappointing, you know, when you're coming to play your rival that you would, you know, not show up like that. And look, I think Indiana had something to do with that because, you know, I think you know, if you watched a guy like Matthew Meyer, who, by the way, had 0 points tonight, it's a guy who averages 11 points. You know, no coincidence Indiana wins by 15 on a game where you shut him out. He had absolutely no desire to try and work for a shot or do anything offensively. Indiana just completely took him out. Like, credit to Terrence Shannon, who I thought, you know, tried his best offensively and tried to do what he could. Meyer was a no-show, in large part because of the defense, you know, that Indiana played. And, you know, so I thought coming into this game, you know, if we saw Indiana carry over the strong play against Wisconsin, there's a real chance that you come out here, you play well, Illinois plays well, you know, it's a really good game, and you could lose just because they're a little bit better than you at home. But Indiana played really well, and Illinois, I mean, just really didn't show up. I mean, you know, to lose with all those, you know, important statistical advantages that we talked about earlier. But Indiana just had more life. Indiana just had more juice. You know, and the other guys I want to mention here off the top, Andy, you know, Trace Jackson Davis owned the second half. He was just tremendous. But I thought what Jalen Huccifino and Jordan Geronimo did in the first half was absolutely essential for Indiana to build the lead. You know, Jordan Geronimo in the first half had a very Victor Oladipo-like impact on the game. You know, he scored on cuts. He made a three. He was blocking shots. He was getting rebounds. Had a couple of, you know, turnovers. But he was just all over the place with his energy impacting things. And Jalen, who really struggled in the second half, and obviously we hope that, you know, when he fell and, you know, was kind of holding his wrist, that there's nothing there. He kept playing. So hopefully that's okay. But I thought he had a stretch in the first half where he really got going, you know, and got that floater game going. And that was a huge part of building the lead that Trace basically then protected, you know, from there on out. But I thought those two guys were really, really important in Indiana getting off to such a good start.
Well, and Jalen ends up having to play the whole first half with Galloway getting in foul trouble early, and could have potentially seen Illinois go to that press sooner had he not been in there. But yeah, I thought he really, short of the very beginning of the game, played under control. Didn't give him as many of those opportunities. Yeah, I think a lot of the scouting report coming into the game talked a lot about Illinois playing drop coverage on pick and rolls. You didn't see a lot of those middle pick and rolls. IU was running some action to get him handoffs at the elbow, which worked out pretty well for him. And so, was under control, took good care of the ball, struggled a little bit with recognizing the 10-second calls in the second half, but and was able to finish out the game, play defense with four fouls, as did Galloway. So I thought that was, important. You could maybe afford to lose one of those guys, but certainly not both as you went through that way. And Geronimo, they really started the game by not guarding him at all. I mean, the first possession, I think Coleman Hawkins is guarding him, but like standing in the middle of the lane. And so kind of knew he'd have to step up and take some of those shots. But I thought he and Trace played really well off of one another. I thought he got some buckets because Trace made good passes and he was able to take advantage of the attention they paid to him. And just activity level is what you look at from him. That's when he can really be there. Hard cuts to the basket, being active on the glass, being active defensively. Those are the hallmarks for me of when he can be effective. And that's really what he's done the last two games.
Coach Marlowe.
Yeah, I didn't know if Andy was going to go there about Jordan Geronimo. I just point out Jordan Geronimo first half, 6 for 6, 13 points. And I think that's the Jordan Geronimo that we saw toward the end of last season, active, like you were saying, Jared, active, making plays, making hustle plays, doing little things and finding a way to get in the scorebook and get on the scoring column. But he did that tonight, and I think that's what we thought we'd get at the beginning of the season. Let's keep it here, and let's keep him playing with that kind of energy. I think good things are going to happen with this group.
You know, the other thing with him that's interesting is he's not letting a mistake bother him. And I thought at times early in the season, you saw, you know, a mistake, you know, kind of get in his head a little bit. And I wonder if part of that is because he wasn't getting as many minutes. And now he knows, you know, he's a key part of the rotation with Race out. And sometimes a guy just gets more comfortable, you know, and is better able to play through mistakes. And you saw that because his first half wasn't perfect, but it was really impactful, you know, but he made a few mistakes. He fumbled the ball and, you know, did a couple of Jordan Geronimo things, but he just kept making energy plays and kept cutting and kept doing stuff. So his positive contributions so far outweighed the negative. And that's a big step forward from where he was, you know, just a couple weeks ago. So credit, you know, to Coach Woodson, who had a sit down with him and, you know, clearly, you know, whatever he said to him and, you know, whatever, you know, cause he was kind of the bright spot in the Penn State game and he's carried that forward. And Indiana has really needed those contributions. And look, when you can get those kind of contributions from your role players on the road, it just goes such a long way towards getting a win. Okay, as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 15-point victory over Illinois, we will point out tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the assembly call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Gene, please come back. Rescue this league, because the officiating game in, game out, both ways, is really just very frustrating to watch. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris. I'm here with Andy Bottoms and the coach, Jeff Marlowe. We are breaking down Indiana's 15-point victory over Illinois, and it's the top of segment two, so you know what that means. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. That is right. It is time for tonight's Meaningful Moments You Might Have Missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. I think the first moment that we need to talk about is, you know, that other, you know, Coach Marlowe, you kind of alluded to this. You know, the only other point in the game, you know, in the second half where it really felt like there was a little bit of game pressure on Indiana because Illinois was making that run, was when they got it down to 66-54. They're on a 9-0 run. Everybody expected that run to happen. You're on the road. Illinois has some firepower. They were going to make a run at some point. And Jalen is on the bench because he has four fouls. And it really, for a moment there, felt like IU was teetering a little bit. You know, had the two, backcourt violations. And Trey Galloway, who was pretty up and down tonight, you know, I mean, he did a lot of Trey Galloway things. He did everything playing hard, and you always give him credit for that. You know, but, you know, some turnovers and some ball handling issues, a couple questionable decisions that led to fouls. You know, it was just kind of one of those nights for Trey. But, man, did he step up huge when Indiana needed him. On that next possession when Indiana's up 12, he refused a screen, you know, drove right, hit that little floater, which was huge just to settle things down. Because we've seen a 9-0 run like that balloon to a 17-0 run, and now it's only a four-point lead and all hell's breaking loose. That really stopped it. And then on the next possession, credit to Jordan Geronimo. You know, he didn't score a lot of points, but he got a huge rebound and threw a great outlet pass to Trey Galloway, who, you know, drove down, stayed patient, let a whole bunch of Illinois guys fly by him and got the layup. And, you know, that put Indiana up 16, really kind of settled things down. And, you know, we've seen, you know, in some of these games, okay, Jalen step up and Trey step up. But who else is going to step up? And you expect the role players to play on at home. But that was just another example in a really key spot where Indiana's role players stepped up and made big plays, you know, that led to wins. So that was just an absolutely tremendous sequence in the second half. And credit to Trey for stepping up and making, you know, a couple of the biggest plays of the game. Andy, I know that we probably have the same one about Miller Kopp, so I'm going to let you deliver that one.
I got a couple different ones on him. I mean, he didn't score a lot tonight, but there was, I'll just run through all three of them. One was first half. There's a kind of a, not kind of, a not an ill-advised pass from Geronimo back across the center of the court. Kopp does a really good job of stepping to the ball, manages to get it. The defender ends up going up the court. He kicks it back to Geronimo, who makes a jump shot there. I mean, that was a 4-point swing with, in my head, I'm seeing the run out the other way for Illinois. That was one.
That would have cut it to eight. And then Geronimo's bucket put him up 12.
Yeah. He had a really good cut down the lane late in the game where Trace found him. One of a number of really good passes from Trace to be able to finish that. And then the other thing, he's diving on the floor for a loose ball with less than 2 minutes left in the game, up by like 16 points. Just really thought from a leadership standpoint. I mean, we can, I'm sure we're not done banging the drum of him getting shots and of Woodson's comments in his press availability this week that could certainly have been taken in a way that was maybe not what you'd want to hear. But man, he just keeps playing, made a big three as well. You know, takes a shot fake, lets a guy fly by, steps to the side and drill the three. So just a number of plays that, some show up in the box score, some don't, but a number of little winning plays that make a difference in a road game like this from a guy with a lot of experience. And just thought he made a lot of savvy plays on both ends.
Yeah, I will hear no Miller Kopp slander tonight. You know, this was a game, and honestly, I don't have a big problem with the 3-point shooting tonight. Because this was a game, I mean, Illinois just wasn't going to help off the shooters, and they're going to single team Trace. I mean, I would like to see more than 9, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's a little bit more defensible in a game like this. And I'll tell you another play that I loved from Miller. And it happened in the second half. And look, he's a shooter. You know he feels the pressure to go out there and make shots. You know, and he got it on the wing. And he had enough space to it would have been a good look. And for a guy like him who, you know, just wants to take shots, I'm sure he wanted to take that shot, but he passed it up to Tamar Bates for a better look. And so I just think there's an unselfishness to his game. And there's a fine line between what you might call unselfish and what someone else might call not being aggressive enough. But, you know, time and score and context matters. And I just thought, you know, him being unselfish, you know, like that, and just playing a team game and doing what was asked of him in this game, he really did that. The other thing I want to mention, Andy, you know, you mentioned the 3-pointer that Kopp made, and that put Indiana up 62-41, you know, really kind of a dagger three that he made. What preceded it was Tamar Bates taking a pull-up three, and you could debate maybe whether that's a good shot or not. I loved it. Because I think there are times in a game when you get a little bit of space and you can hit a three that's just going to have an outsized impact. I thought that would have been one of them. Because if he makes it, I mean, it really, you know, kind of feels like it's going to shut the door, you know, on what's happening. Now Illinois, you know, would end up cutting it to 12 a little bit later. But I liked the moxie of Tamar to step up and take that shot. Indiana would end up getting the rebound, you know, and Kopp would make the three a little bit later. But it was nice to see those guys, you know, be ready for some openings that they had in the second half after getting zero shots in the first half. And Tamar wasn't able to make any of them. You know, Miller was able to hit. And those guys weren't needed tonight. But I do continue to think as we go down the stretch of this season, you know, Indiana's going to need to find other ways to score points. Not everybody's going to be silly enough to single cover Trace, and those guys are going to need to be ready. And I thought they showed in the second half a good mentality of sticking with the game, even though they weren't getting their opportunities early. And that's something else positive that we can carry out of this. Coach Marlowe, your meaningful moments?
I'm going to go to Jalen Hood-Schifino on a couple of them. And they were both around the same time frame. We had a possession, Danger missed two free throws, I believe it was. We were up 20-12, and next possession we come down and Jalen Winch goes, you know, down the lane and gets a dunk. And so that, I liked that. I thought that was meaningful because, again, it showed the aggressiveness of Jalen Hood-Schifino as a primary ball handler. Then I just, couple different actions really were, but because of the way Illinois plays the drop coverage, it's perfect for Jalen because he's going to get into the lane. He gets a chance to shoot that medium range shot or even about a 12 footer that he really likes. And he had a couple of those as well. So those meaningful moments after he left to a shaky start, I thought Jalen looked a little shaky at the start. You know, he had a couple turnovers. He was, you know, the ball was kind of fumbling around his hands. But I thought once he got going, he really played well in that first half. In fact, then like Andy said, he played the whole 20 minutes in the first half. And I know, you know, and I want to go back to Miller real quick. Andy was talking about Miller, and you brought it up about, you know, I'm one that's been on here, said I'd like to see him run more stuff. Kudos to Miller this week in the press availability. He said their job is he wants to win. You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He wants to win. But so he's not worried about how many shots he gets. I'd like to see him get more shots, but kudos to the kid for backing his coach in a media availability.
Coach Marlow, so on the point that you made about Hutschafino, I agree with you. I thought he was shaky. He was a little too casual for my taste early in the game. And again, you know, it's one of those fine line things, because you look at that and it's like, boy, he's really calm and poised. Sometimes I think he gets a little bit casual with his ball handling, and I thought you saw that early in the game. And I don't think they showed this on the broadcast, but Coach Tonsoni texted us. He was there. And when Danger was shooting those free throws, you know, Woody kind of took him over, had a little chat with him. You know, Coach texts us. He's like, you know, Woody doing a little bit of coaching for Jalen. Jalen proceeds to score on the next two possessions. You know, had that where he, instead of being casual, he just drove right down the lane with an emphatic dunk. You know, and that's what you want to see from him. And nice to see him, you know, responding to the coaching and stepping back up. And that kind of set him off for the rest of his first half performance. Andy, why don't you end us here in the segment before we talk stats?
Just one, and it'll help transition to a stat here. My wife texted me a screenshot of Sidney Parrish tweeting out, "No Nuggets, two nights in a row for Illinois." So the meaningful moment, Malik Renu making the second free throw as the men and the women's teams take the sweep. And as we transition to stats, a cool 65 combined points from Trace Jackson Davis and Mackenzie Holmes on these two nights at the other Assembly Hall.
Jeez, unbelievable. Let's talk numbers. You know, we mentioned some of the ones that, you know, that really stand out. You know, Indiana getting crushed in the turnover battle, crushed in fouls, losing the three-point battle. So how did Indiana win? 54 points in the paint. Jordan Geronimo cuts. Trace Jackson Davis, you know, just doing everything. Jalen Hutschafino getting in there. You know, this was a game where Indiana had a decided advantage. And, you know, again, I think, you know, Andy, there have been times where we've said, okay, something's working. Let's just keep going back to it. And if something's not working, let's kind of switch and do something else. And I thought Indiana really did that tonight, you know, and they just continued to pound that advantage, you know, and that obviously is the single biggest reason why they were able to, you know, to overcome some of those other numbers and still win. 54 points in the paint. Nice to see Indiana getting back to kind of that bread and butter. You know, and look, it's going to really make people, you know, you watch this film, you know, you watch the Wisconsin film, it's going to make people really, I think, have to think twice about, you know, what are you going to do? And, you know, if teams go back to, hey, we've got to collapse on Trace, we have to take that away, we can't let him go 15 of 19 against us. You know, you've gotten Jalen going a little bit offensively, and that's what I mean. These wing guys have got to stay with it, because they're going to get their opportunities, because teams are not going to watch this and just, you know, say we're going to single cover Trace. He's healthy again. He's playing phenomenal. Contrary to the stupid little sign that the Illinois fans had, Trace has improved over the last 3 years. He's improved a ton, you know, and we're seeing it right now. So obviously the biggest number right there. What other numbers stood out to you?
I mean, that's the big one. I mean, when you look at team stats, those turnovers, the 17 IU turnovers, is certainly more than you'd like. That turned into 18 Illinois points, especially in a game when they were really struggling to get things going offensively. The free throw defense is still back, 9 of 23 from the line for Illinois. So that has made
this was not a focus performance from Illinois.
A resurgent. Yeah, I think you're right there. You know, I think if you look at one, you know, potential area that you'd look at, you'd say only 5 bench points. Today, the starters really carried the load. I think you're going to, you know, it's been that way with X and Race out. But as you get into some of these other games, you're going to need somebody to step off the bench. All 5 of those came from Malik Renu, who I thought had some good moments again and some rough stretches, but 5.6 rebounds in 14 minutes for him. He was the only guy to score off the bench. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the, you know, points in the paint number that really tells the story. You're, you know, 54 points in the paint, and then you throw in an attack like that gets you only 13 free throw attempts. So do with that what you will, once again, as we discuss that component of things. But oh, let me cede the floor to our fourth co-host now.
I don't like carrots.
He's back, baby. Coach Tonsoni, live from Champaign. Give us your thoughts. What's on your mind after this Indiana performance, Coach?
Well, I just thought it was an absolutely fantastic performance. Give credit to the coaching staff sticking to the shooters. You know, what was a great move tonight, because it made Meyer and Shannon uncomfortable. Shannon ends up with 26, but all the comments from the Illinois side, the one press conference I did make, was they weren't running their stuff. They weren't running their stuff. And they're going to say it's because they were tired and mentally not there, but it was because Indiana made them uncomfortable. stuff we had talked about on the show. And it was a Coach Marvel talks about closeouts. They had a shorter distance to close out when the studs got the ball. And you gave up some drives and you gave up some post feeds early on. But that's a lot of what the college game is going. Like, Underwood did that to a fault tonight. And he was living by it in the press conference. He said, you can't score it. One guy can't score enough twos to beat you. It's the other guys. Geronimo getting 13 when he averages five and not guarding Hood Schifino, that he wasn't happy with the way they guarded TJD. But in this, a lot of colleges now, it's like, rather give up contested twos than that three ball. And some, I think Underwood stayed with it too long tonight, but all coaches are stubborn to an effect. But I just thought the effort was there. I thought Woodson had a great night tonight. He called that timeout early. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys caught it. There was a free throw for Illinois being shot, and Hood Schifino was being loose with the ball. And the next two times, he just went straight downhill and scored two times in a row. And that's the kind of in-game management that I think has been missing and some of the concerns that I had. And, these last two games, you see someone who's trying to fix some of the things that were wrong by the players and, I think, by the coaching staff. And that's all you ask. But we just kept punching them and punching them and punching them. And these people here were leaving with 10:49. I wanted to shout from Media Row, rivalry my ass. You guys are leaving. Like, you don't leave in a rivalry when it's 14 points with 10 minutes to go. But a great night. The drive home will be fantastic. And it's good for all of us to see back-to-back efforts rather than a little bit of the roller coaster. Your post today about losing better. We also need to win better. But I thought that was really good post. But it's a heck of a lot better to not have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this was just a terrific performance by Indiana. You know, and I know, you know, there was some talk at halftime, you know, boy, Indiana should be up more. It's like, man, we were up 10 on the road after that first half. Like, I get you could be up more, but, you know, we've got to make sure that our expectations are fair. And, you know, what we've wanted to see is more committed defense, you know, smarter offense, guys playing with competitive focus and conviction. And that's what we saw tonight. You know, and that's what this team is capable of. That's why fans were so frustrated during the second half of the Iowa game, the Northwestern game, and the Penn State game, because we knew there was more there. It wasn't just the injuries causing these poor performances, and these last two games have been proof of it. This team is still capable of doing a lot of stuff, and, you know, these 80 minutes of basketball, again, they can't just be an island in the middle of the season. They've got to continue to build, and now we've got to do it again against Michigan State. But to back up the Wisconsin win with a win like this on the road is terrific. And everybody in the program deserves a huge amount of praise. No question about it.
I'm so excited I didn't turn my Bluetooth on my earphones. I hope you're not getting feedback from my car speakers. It's coming
you're
through
okay.
My car. So
it's not great, but it's fine. It's you. That's all people care about.
I'll let you guys go. I don't even know how to work
is he
equipment.
Is he with the Adams family? You know, he looks like he's, you know, auditioning.
My only question for you, you were there on TV. It looked like an absolutely lifeless environment. And I get that the team didn't really give the fans much to cheer for, but really just a pathetic display by the Illinois fans, I thought, of bringing it for a rivalry game. As you said, leaving early, they're talking all their smack and posting, you know, Eric Gordon videos. Boy, talk about they better show up on the Club Trillion Fraud Power Rankings on Titus and the next Titus and Tate podcast, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Indiana got out to a 10-point lead and the crowd was just dead.
Yeah.
And their runs were mini runs. They got a little loud when that 9-0 run happened, when the press caused us problems. That got really loud. But other than that, it was domination tonight by Indiana defensively and offensively.
Yeah.
Everything worked. Everything was demoralizing. Offensive rebounds we got. They missed free throws. It was just, you know, a combination of us playing great and they did not play great, and why there was a blowout and the fans reacted that way. So that's what they get for talking crap, you know, all week is you get your ass kicked.
Absolutely. Coach, you driving home now?
Yeah, I got a 2-hour drive, but it'll probably happen in about 1:15. I'm so fired up.
Well, hopefully Mrs. Tonsoni doesn't have the slippers on when you get there. I hope she's waiting up.
No,
for you,
and I'm going to bill any traffic ticket to assembly call.
That's fine. That's fine. We win by 15 points on the road. It's all good.
Yeah, that's only valid after victories. But this coupon only valid after victories. But you're all right.
Thanks for checking in, Coach. Look, I'm not sure what other numbers there really are to talk about. I do want to go back to one other meaningful moment though, which is when it was 66-45, Trace, scored another bucket, one of his many. Illinois took a timeout and they showed him kind of walking back to the bench like, hey, let's relax. You know, this game is not over yet. And I just, look, there was some conversation at different points, earlier in the year. And we've talked about it before, with him, that as you get older and you're the go-to guy, it's always been at Indiana that you're responsible for more than just your own play, and you've got to be a leader in terms of energy. You've got to be a leader in terms of example. You've got to be a leader in terms of the things that you say. And I think the growth that he's shown as a leader over the last, month, 6 weeks, whatever it's been, playing hurt and helping this team navigate through injuries and, helping them come back and put these two performances together and leading not just with production, but with more energy and just everything he's done. I mean, this is the good stuff. This is why it's fun being a college basketball fan. And I'm just so impressed, with what he's done. And you're starting to see even more of those little vocal things like that, where it's just, that's not the kind of stuff that you would have seen from him before. And Trace, he's improved as a player. He's not a threat from outside, but they're fouling him on 3-point shots. So, he's at least got that going for him and making all three of the free throws.
Yeah, does that count as his first make? I'm not sure.
We should. Look, we'll talk about him more for the game ball, but I just walk away from this game being so impressed with everything that he did, his play, the way he carries himself, and the way that he's leading this program. He's really becoming just the full embodiment of all of his potential and what we thought he could become. We're seeing it right now, and it's really, really fun to watch. Andy?
Yeah.
Coach Marlowe, yeah. You have a number.
Yeah. On Trace, and we mentioned a number of these as we went as well, but just the number of baskets that he personally made to kind of stem the tide in different scenarios, going into halftime, coming out of halftime, just really, those and ones that he got there a couple of times. I forget whether it was the end of the first half or the beginning of the second, where he just kind of like got the ball on the perimeter. They're really overplaying everything, and he's like, screw it, I'm just going to go score. He did a lot of screw it, I'm just going to go score today, which is always welcome. But yeah, I'll throw it to Coach Marlowe. I got one stat, but I'll throw it to Coach Marlowe first in case he got the same one. I don't want to steal it.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the shooting percentage. We shot on the road 61.8%. Now, I know our All-American went 15 for 19, but we don't shoot 61.8% at home most nights. That's an outstanding. And if you take away our three-point percentage, it's 67% on twos. We would have been 31 of 46 on twos. That to me is – I can't even fathom going out on the road and basically making two out of every three shots in a conference game, in a game that where both teams should have been fairly equal. And we just went out and shot the lights out. And that's the one number I wanted to point out. And then I'll let Andy go. I do have one other one, but I'll let Andy go in case it's the same one I have.
Well, you hit the one I had. It was the 2-point shooting, 67.4%. Illinois was in the top 20. They're still 20th even after that in 2-point defense, and just masterful, 67.4% of their twos.
Phenomenal. All right, let's keep it going here on the assembly call. In segment three, we are going to hand out our game balls. We'll talk a little Hoosier Hustle Award, discuss a lingering question or two, and then look ahead to what's coming up this weekend against Michigan State. That is next on this victorious episode of the assembly call. Stick with us.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Devontae. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And hey, sometimes Thursday night is a game, and so we don't have Assembly Call Radio, but we do have a postgame show. And since this is Thursday night, that means our final segment is brought to you by our friends at True Blood Real Estate. And I really do mean friends. Jim Trueblood has been a friend of mine for a long time. He is the founder and owner of Trueblood Real Estate, where he has been helping people in Indiana buy and sell properties since 2006. Starting this season, Trueblood Real Estate is the exclusive and official real estate partner of IU Athletics, with a team of talented agents to serve you in Bloomington and throughout Indiana. If you are looking to buy or sell real estate in Indiana, you need to experience the Trueblood advantage. So go to truebloodre.com to learn more. That's truebloodre.com, and tell them the Assembly Call sent you. All right, I'm Jared Morris here with the coach, Jeff Marlowe, and Andy Bottoms. And gentlemen, it is time for our game balls. Those are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services. That is 23 in honor of TJD. Guys, let's talk more about how awesome Trace was, because I think it's pretty clear he gets the game ball for this performance. It wasn't quite, you know, 40-some points like what Woody did, but I'm not sure Woody had this number of rebounds and assists and blocks that Trace did. Just a terrific all-around performance. Andy, what else do you have to say about what Trace delivered tonight? Because he's the game ball winner.
Yeah, I mean, just really showed a variety of ways that he could score. Everything wasn't, you know, turn it over his right shoulder to get to that left-handed hook. I mean, there was a lot of those, but spun baseline, did a really good job of that. And one of the plays that we didn't mention, I don't know if this is truly a meaningful moment, but, you know, they run a play, I think, out of a timeout to get a lob to him. It was there, and Jalen just missed it. And he threw it late, like, to the point where the ball is – straight at the basket, but under the rim. Yeah. You know, the last place you really want to throw an alley-oop with Trace going the other way, but he just, you know, just casually took it, grabbed it out of the air, reversed it on the other side. I just thought he showed a variety of ways to score, a few straight post-ups, but really was able to find matchups when it was danger on him. He pulled him out a little bit, just drove right by him and tomahawked a couple that way. When it was some of the smaller guys, he just bullied him in the post. When it was Coleman Hawkins or I forget who the other guy was, they tried to throw at him, and just showed a variety of things. And you'll need that against the Michigan State team. You know, as you think ahead to the next game, that you know, tried the strategy with Zach Edey of kind of letting him get his. Do they do that with Trace? Do you figure out things from there? And continue to make some really nice passes. Had some good passes across the lane to Geronimo for baskets. Had the dish to Kopp that we talked about as well. And that was a part of his game that was really good in the Wisconsin game as well. So, you know, the players only meeting stuff and leadership stuff is only as good as what you come out and back it up with. And he has done that and then some over these last couple of games.
By the way, I loved Jason Benetti's reaction to that awesome play by Trace. Jason Benetti was the play-by-play guy tonight on the broadcast. I have to give him a game ball because Stephen Bardo, who by all accounts is like just one of the nicest guys in the business and really does seem like probably a pleasant guy to hang out with, but does leave something to be desired as a basketball analyst. And I don't want to be mean. I just, you know, because again, I like Stephen Bardo as a person. But Jason Benetti, I thought you kind of like set him up and made Stephen Bardo a little better tonight because Jason Benetti is awesome. So game ball to Jason Benetti because he makes any broadcast that he's on more enjoyable to listen to, even and especially 15-point wins on the road at Illinois. Coach Marlowe, what else do you have to say about Indiana's leader, Trace Jackson Davis?
Well, I'm going to go back to one of those we could have even brought up in the meaningful moment. Two games ago, three games ago, if this team would have turned it over for a pick six, they would have just jogged back and been like, okay, there's a layup, there's a dunk. We turned it over and I can't remember the exact time frame, but we turned it over. We were ahead and Illinois was still struggling to score. And we turned it over and they had a run out. Trace ran it down and blocked the shot and kept them from scoring. And I think it was the same sequence actually where he then got his foul called and then X got teed up from the bench. Yeah. But that's what your best player should do. I worked a few basketball camps in the day for some college coaches. And I won't say who they were just because one of them was at Illinois. But anyway, it was Lon Kruger. I will go ahead and say it was for Lon Kruger. But Lon always used to say that your best player has to be your hardest worker. And Trace has shown that. Even his back has been bothering. We know all that. But to me, that showed the real leadership. He didn't have to yell. He didn't have to beat his chest. Didn't have to get up anybody's face. He just showed he was going to hustle down a run out and do what he could to stop a bucket. And that, I think that spills over to the rest of the team.
Yeah, that was a great play. It was 14-5 at that point. And on the offensive end, there was a loose ball that Jalen and Trace really kind of half-assed their way toward. I don't think that's going to be a very fun watch for them on the film session. But you're right. Trace just busted his rump down to the other end to get the block. And that, you know, it was probably the worst example of Indiana's hustle on a night when they played hard most of the time because no one else ran down there to get the rebound and he was kind of down there by himself. So it was probably the one blemish on the night.
A four-on-one break is the one guy. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And by the way, man. I will say that I'm not nearly as harsh on Stephen Bardo as some of the others on here. I kind of like Bardo. I think sometimes he gets too caught up in trying to make comments. So, but I'm a Bardo guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's gotten better. You know, I think he's become, he is kind of like the easy cliched punchline. And I think he's much better with Benetti. We'll just put it that way. Trace Jackson Davis with his ninth game ball of the season. No one else on the team has more than two, so I'm fairly certain he's going to win that, as he should, as Indiana's leader. But let's go on now to our Hoosier Hustle Award.
The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Hoosier Hustle Award time. Coach Marlowe, we'll go to you first. Who gets your Hoosier Hustle Award?
And a nice problem to have tonight. I think you could go to a number of guys on the team here. But I'm going to go with because of what he did in the first half, and I thought that was a huge key to this team getting off to the lead they got in the first half, and that's Jordan Geronimo. I thought Jordan's effort in the first half, his 13 points, his rebounds, his hustle. Yes, he made a couple of mistakes, as we pointed out earlier. But I just feel like when he brings that energy and plays that role, other guys filled their roles better. And I thought he took advantage of of the opportunities that night. He hit a three in the first half, and he made a couple nice cuts. He got passes for layups. So I'm going to go with Jordan Geronimo for my hustle award. But like I said, I could have gone with three or four guys.
Interesting. An upset that you didn't go with your guy, Trey Galloway. I think that's what everybody was expecting.
He was in my list, but the play at the end, a couple of plays at the end weren't enough for me. I'm going to go with Jordan here, but Trey was on my list.
Andy, who gets your hustle award?
I'm going to go with Jordan as well. I mean, looking back, he really, the three-pointer he made to make it 7-4, Illinois never led or never had it tied from that point forward. And I thought really, Trace didn't score as much early. He eventually did, but I thought Jordan at least helped stem the tide. I thought the energy and the effort and just the activity level there continues to get better on the defensive end. I think this was a reasonably good matchup for him on that side of the ball to be able to be a smaller four man with the way that Illinois plays there. Therefore, I thought he did a nice job on that end of the floor as well. Had a couple nice blocks, and I think it seemed like he turned his ankle or did something, going out to close out on a shooter at one point. It was out for a little while, but came back in. Was a little worried about that for a bit there in the second half. He kind of asked to come out, but finished the game fine. Seemed to be good there. So he gets it for me. I think be the second game in a row for him. I believe he got it in the Wisconsin game too.
Yeah, Jordan gets mine. I just thought his impact was, just so much about the hustle and the activity. So he gets mine. I do want to throw out honorable mention to Miller Kopp. I think you could make a case for him. Trey Galloway, through good plays and bad, he's always going to hustle. And to know you're going to get that, and two other guys I just want to mention real quick. One is Malik Renew, who I think you're seeing more consistent effort from him. And it's something that Mike Woodson talked about a few weeks ago, where trying to get Malik over the hump and, teach him, how hard he needs to play. And you're seeing Malik enter games now and just seem more comfortable, and had a couple of really nice moves tonight. He was 2 for 4, 5 points, 6 boards, made an impact in his 14 minutes. Still had 4 fouls, and so that's still an issue for him. But I think you're seeing him play harder on defense and do more of the things that the coach is asking for. And also honorable mention to Xavier Johnson for, getting his name in the stat sheet with a technical foul in the first half. I mean, look, the officiating was bad and X got mad and said something, and no, he shouldn't do that. But, nice to see the engagement over there on the sideline from Indiana's injured leader. So in a 15-point game, we can laugh about it. If it was a 1-point game, there would be a much different tone talking about that moment. But for tonight, we can laugh about it. All right, let's talk lingering questions. Andy, we saw Indiana put together a really good, effort against Wisconsin. At home. Okay, we've seen that before. How did they back it up? Well, they went on the road against one of the most talented teams in the Big Ten that was on a 4-game winning streak and throttled them. So that's 80 really good minutes of basketball. And so obviously, one lingering question is, okay, can Indiana do it again, against Michigan State coming home for a weekend home game? I think for me, look, you're getting the offense that you need out of Trace Jackson Davis. Jalen is clearly comfortable, in his role as the point guard. Obviously, you hope that he came out of this game healthy and that everything is okay. My lingering question continues to be, are Indiana's wings going to be able to step up and get points when Indiana needs them? They didn't need them tonight. They didn't need them against Wisconsin. It's not always going to be like that. And so are those guys going to be ready when their opportunities come? And, they certainly seemed like they were tonight. But that, to me, remains the lingering question as you come out of this. Are those guys going to be ready? And we'll find out because it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, you look ahead to the Michigan State game, talk a little bit about what game plan Izzo might devise to try to slow TJD down after these last couple games, or if he kind of lets him go and tries to make other guys beat him, similar to what sounded like from Coach what Underwood
said.
It's called
line extra hard to the refs. That will be Tom Izzo's strategy.
I mean, a technical probably buys you 13 minutes where your team doesn't get called for a foul. So it's like a pretty good trade-off to give up, 2 points. Not too bad. So I think that'll be, that'll be interesting. And I think in a home game, maybe that's a more comfortable environment for those guys to step up. I think in a road game, you kind of lean on your studs. And I thought Trace was every bit of that tonight. So, home environment at Assembly Hall, somebody can maybe get hot, hit a couple threes, and see what happens from there. I think that would bode well, give those guys some confidence. I thought they've didn't score a lot tonight, but I thought played well overall. Talked about Galloway. He seemed hell bent on fouling out of the game there for a little bit, though. Even when he came back to look four, I was like, just ratchet it down just a little bit here after you. I know he didn't think he fouled on any of the four that he got called for, based on his facial expression. But so I do think that's an area where they got to be, all kidding aside, got to be a little bit careful, right? Like, you got two ball handlers at this point on the team. Survived a stretch tonight where both of them had four fouls against Michigan State with Hogard and Walker. Can you defend those guys without fouling and getting yourself in trouble? Because it becomes that much more important for those guys to stay on the court. And that's almost as important as some of the scoring punch that you hope you get eventually. And I think that'll come. I think it's just going to come in spurts. And if you can get a different guy to step up each night, you know, it's been Geronimo these last couple games. It's kind of been the third wheel of things here. Can that be Miller Kopp or Trey Galloway or Tamar Bates in the next game? Maybe multiple of those guys. I just think you got to take it game by game. I don't think they're in a position where they're getting consistent enough touches that you're going to be able to count on any one of those guys every single night, game in and game out. But I do think you are seeing enough from them that it feels like you're going to get contributions from a couple of them that can maybe put you over the edge in a tight game.
Yeah, no, it's a great point about the defense on Michigan State's two guards, you know, because those guys are good enough, even with the injuries they have to Hall, to keep them in any game, in any place. And Indiana just doesn't have much depth. And you kind of saw some of the ball handling struggles. And I think, you know, Tamar Bates is an interesting case. You know, you look at the points that he had, you go back to the Nebraska game, here are his point totals: 19, 13, 5, 8, 19, 8, 9, 11. He really was kind of getting going there and being a consistent source of offense. In his last two games, 0-0, has not scored. And you might say, well, those are the two games Indiana has won. So, you know, that's fine. I don't think they won because, you know, he didn't score. Obviously, the offensive opportunities were coming from a different place. But you know, he's a scorer, you know, and I saw some mentions in the chat, you know, and I get it, you know, where you don't want him to force shots, but again, he is a guy who knows he's expected to score. And that's where I just think if you can help a guy like that out, help him get a look, help him kind of get into the flow of the game, you know, I think that's, you know, gonna, you know, help keep him kind of engaged and confident, because you're going to need those points at some point. So I continue to just be curious about how that plays out as we go, you know, forward here in the season, and teams probably go back to, you know, guarding Trace a little bit tougher. It'll be interesting to see how those guys were able to respond. Coach Marlowe?
I think Tamar's moved well off the ball lately. He had a back cut tonight that I think he lost the ball going up, or it got knocked away. I think he's done a good job of being more active and trying to get himself into position, either off the catch to get shots or being able to drive off that. So I think he's going to be a little bit more erratic over the course of time. I think it's also a couple games he hasn't started, hasn't played as many minutes in some of those scenarios. But I think you're seeing a lot of good. I think you're seeing enough little things that he's doing that he's going to have a few games where he really helps the team out from a scoring standpoint. And you may have a few that are a little quieter like tonight. But I think, I don't know, feels like you're still seeing growth there, even if it's not showing up in the scoring column.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of more of a macro question, you know, but I mean, Indiana's recruiting a lot of guys who are wings and wing scorers, you know, and it's just interesting that you kind of watch games, and in Indiana's offense, a lot of times they're an afterthought. And you can talk around that, you know, because, hey, you've got this All-American center and you've got, you know, this NBA talent at point guard, and they're the focal points of the offense. But I do think at some point you want to kind of show how a guy like that is going to be used, you know, and how you're going to help him, you know, get into it as you go forward. And it's just, you know, right now that's not what the focus has been. And Woody was very adamant that that's not what they're going to do right now. But that is a lingering question to watch moving forward. Coach Marlowe, any lingering questions for you coming out of this one?
Well, I also want to also comment on Tamar a little bit before I get to my lingering question. It's just that I think one thing would help Tamar, and I know he's not going to be an A-plus defender. I think if he just got locked in a little better on the defensive end, and he's gotten better, but there's still times when I see him turn his head to the ball. There's still times when I kind of see him, he's not in the proper position. And I think if he gets locked in a little better on the defensive end, and then you take to the offensive end, rather than just always hunting, it seems like the three, make a cut to the basket like a Miller Kopp did tonight or a Jordan Geronimo. Get a layup or two, because once you see it go in, the basket just looks so much bigger. And I don't care whether you're playing high school ball, college ball, pro ball. You see it go in, all of a sudden your confidence grows.
And Coach, to that point real quick, he had an opportunity like that in the first half where he made a cut, got a pass, and he was really casual with the ball and kept it down instead of bringing it up, and they stripped it, and he didn't get that opportunity. So I think you're 100% right, and he's got to seize that opportunity and finish the play, and he just didn't do it tonight.
But I'm going to kind of show my Bob Knight roots here, and the lingering question is, can we continue to do it? And can we continue to play with the same effort? Coach Knight always used to talk about last game, next game. Hey, great win tonight. Loved it. Loved going on the road and kicking the crap out of Illinois. Got to forget it. Now we got to get ready for Michigan State on Sunday, and that's the only game that matters. Because if you lose that game, then this doesn't. Yeah, and I'm another one that I really like to talk about home wins and road losses. And we lost at home to Northwestern, so we got that game back now by going out and winning on the road. I'm not looking to be 500, but that's kind of what I measure the league race by, is who's winning on the road as well as winning at home. And so we got to defend the home court. So I'm really looking to kind of see, you know, and one of my favorite movies when I was in high school or college, actually, when I came out, was Major League. And the Lou Brown quote about, you win one game, then you win another. And then if you win a third game in a row, you know what they call that? A winning streak. So Sunday becomes really important.
Absolutely. Andy, anything else about Michigan State? Obviously, Malik Hall expected to miss that game. This Michigan State team is not particularly deep, but they do have, again, the kind of experienced guards that are going to keep them in every game and always give them a chance to win. So, you know, Indiana's really going to have to bring it, the same kind of defense, you know, everything, against just kind of one of those tough, gritty, kind of pain in the neck Michigan State teams that doesn't have a big ceiling, but they've got that high floor because of those guards and just the program that Tom Izzo has built.
Yeah, you've got three really good 3-point shooters in Tyson Walker, Jaden Akins, and Joey Hauser, all shooting over 41% after tonight's game. So I think that's, as you look at what IU's defensive game plan is, if they continue to employ what they've done, you know, what they did tonight, you're gonna probably see guys hug those shooters pretty close. I think how you can defend the guards is really where things start with them, particularly with Hall out. You know, Hauser, a big guy, but doesn't really play inside a great deal. Has, you know, a few more, you know, 2-point attempts and 3-point attempts, but that's really where he, you know, likes to do his damage. And Sissoko really started out the season strong inside, made a good leap, and that'll be a tough matchup for Trace as well. So I, you know, it's a Michigan State team as you approach the end of January. So you kind of know what you're gonna get out of that. Should be a grind. They've been better defensively than they've been offensively, but curious to see what kind of game plan they really you know, put in place for Trace, just after seeing what they did on Monday against Edie. But you know, we'll see what the Big Ten officials have to say about this. But as of now, they're in like the bottom 20 in America in free throw rate. So expect to see them shoot about 35 free throws on on Sunday then. But no, I mean, good opportunity. They've been playing really well. Would be another really strong win for IU. They took Purdue down to the wire, beat Rutgers handily tonight, hit a bunch of threes in that game, and was pretty close with Illinois. I feel like in that game, and Illinois kind of pulled away. Pulled away late in the game. I think it was a, you know, pretty close to a tie game going in the last 10 minutes or so. So really tough team, and a good opportunity, like Coach Marlowe said, to continue to build on that momentum, because you look ahead from a scheduling standpoint. From there, can't take a trip to the barn lightly, but Minnesota has been, you know, toward the bottom of the Big Ten. You got to come home. You got a struggling Ohio State team there. Like, you got a chance to string some wins together if you can keep it going. So I think this team should feel really good about the changes they made and how they've reacted to the situation in these last couple of games. Just a matter of being able to come and bring that same energy on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to play the role of Scott Caulfield here really quick. You know, you got home against Michigan State, at Minnesota, home against Ohio State, at Maryland. I mean, those are four winnable games. Now, odds are you're probably not going to win all of them, but you keep playing like this, it is not inconceivable that you're on a 6-game winning streak heading into the Purdue game. Again, I'm not saying it's likely, but this is the part of the schedule now where you want to be playing well so that you can make hay with these winnable games, because it does get tough, you know, coming a little bit later. So, you know, and look, as we know, you know, momentum in college basketball is only as good as the next game. And as quickly as it comes, it can disappear. And so we've had a big road win before at Iowa and come back and lost at Rutgers at home the very next game. So no one should be comfortable, especially the players and coaches, but even us fans, you know. And Andy, you know, you texted us at one point during the game, you know, I really, you know, I long for the day when an 18-point lead with 8 minutes left in the game and I'm feeling comfortable, but this is not that day. And, you know, look, we need to get the program to that point, but, you know, here we are. And, you know, look, January 11th, that Penn State loss, it really felt like the season was starting to crumble. And now a week later, we just cracked the top 20 again on KenPom with this victory, 3-4 in the conference, and we're right back there in the race. You know, not necessarily competing for, you know, first right now, obviously, because of what Purdue is doing. But right back in there, you get to 4-4 with that Michigan State win, and you're just right there in the thick of it with everybody else, you know, setting yourself up down the stretch to really be able to make a push to get in that upper division. And Indiana has earned that. They played really well against Wisconsin, went on the road and did it tonight. They've earned, through their effort and their togetherness, the chance now to have this game against Michigan State to even things back up in Big Ten play, you know, and continue to, you know, put another important notch on their NCAA tournament resume. So just a really good night of basketball for Indiana, continuing the momentum that was built with that Wisconsin victory. All right, you are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. If you are not all buying the women's basketball shirt, the Home Field Magic women's basketball shirt that is now 3-0 with these three important victories that turn the season around, I don't know what you're doing. And while you're there, pick up a whole bunch of other stuff because it's Home Field Apparel and they're awesome. Again, promo code HOME for 15% off. All right, guys, last call. Let's get some final thoughts on this Indiana victory. Coach Marlo, why don't you lead us off?
First of all, I want to say kudos to the coaching staff and to the players for getting it the ship righted to a certain degree. I mean, we were here a week ago. It was feeling like, you know, this could really kind of get off the rails. And here we are talking about get a couple more wins. And now we're back into the discussion of getting the double bye at the Big Ten tournament. And like you said, everybody's chasing Purdue right now. So you're going to have to help. You know, you're going to have to, you know, get wins and you're going to need some help from some other people. But I just want to give the kids and the players and the coaching staff credit. They made some small, to me, they may be small adjustments, but they were huge adjustments in the way the kids are playing, the way the teams are being connected. And so, but as like I said, my lingering question, got to take it to the next game. It doesn't matter what we did tonight. It's fun to come in here and talk about a great win and you know, punk Illinois a little bit. But we got to do it again on Sunday because that's just the nature of the beast. You're only as good as your next game, according to Coach Knight.
Well said. Andy, last call.
Hey, yeah, pretty similar thoughts for me. You look at, we talk about after some of these losses, how does this team respond? I think you got the same question after wins. And I think from, in this case, I think you saw a great response going into that Wisconsin game and would be easy to, you know, to think, okay, this is a team whose DNA is going to let them relax a little bit. After feeling good about themselves, played really well. And I thought this just, and for the first about minute and a half of the game, that's sure what it looked like. But, you know, they really responded well after that timeout, settled in, controlled the game for as much as it didn't feel like it in the moment, as I'm sending that text to you guys. But, you know, really, really stayed in control of the game, responded to the runs whenever Illinois had one. And that's growth for this team. And that's really what you're looking for. And so it's, you know, encouraging. Everybody, probably rightfully so, is going to keep this team a little bit at arm's length as they try to figure out what's real and what's not. But I think if they play with the defensive effort that they've played with in the last two games, that was the expectation coming in. And that, against most teams that they're going to face from here on out, is going to allow you to stay in the game. When you get a performance like what Trace did tonight on the offensive end, that can cure a lot of ills defensively. Not that there were a ton of ills tonight on that end of the floor, but I think it, with this team, it has to start with the defensive side of the ball, figure things out from there, and then move on. And so they've stacked two games of good ones. Can they do a third one and really start to build some momentum as you look toward the hopeful return of a Race Thompson and a Xavier Johnson? It sounded like Race was out, not really warming up with the team, at least shooting a little bit. So that's a positive sign as you think through that. And so if you can continue to do that, get more guys' confidence, this team can really, you know, go somewhere as you move forward. But you know, I, like everybody else, am a little bit of, okay, just keep showing me and then we'll figure it out from there. So another great opportunity to do that against Michigan State on Sunday. And hopefully they rise to the occasion like they have these last two games. Just a fantastic performance tonight.
I mean, at some point we may just have to suit X up even in his boot and just let him kind of like break the press and handle the ball if Jalen isn't in there, because that was a little scary tonight. And again, you know, they bounced back from it and you know, it didn't unravel there. But that'll certainly be something to clean up, is just not quite so casual getting the ball over half court, guys.
But I know it's easy for watching on TV, but you know, I'm watching that pressure and I'm like, that's really not that hard to break either. If it's man to man, just clear it out and let the ball handler bring it instead of having somebody hang back and create traffic, or just throw it over the top. They're running three people up beyond half court, throw it over the top and get it in the front court. It's not, that was the part that was getting me frustrated. It was like, it wasn't like it was some, you know, fancy press. It was just pretty much straight up pressure you should see, you know, that you would have saw in high school.
They did that the one time, and then Jordan Geronimo, you know, it's like Illinois just kind of kept backing up. It's like, well, if you just want to keep driving in, you can do it. He just kind of like reluctantly kept going because they didn't stop him and just kind of fumbled the ball away. So that's what you need to do. He just needs to stop and then get the ball to the ball handler, even if it's X in a boot. Do what we need to do to protect these leads. No, I'm just, you know, look, after where this thing felt at the end of the Penn State game, you know, and you've got the season with high expectations that really feels like it's spiraling at 1-4. Kind of seems like the coach and players aren't on the same page. You've got some guys who I'm sure are questioning their role and the number of shots they're getting. And there's a lot of reasons for this thing to have continued to go south. And credit to the coaches for making adjustments, as you guys said. Credit to the internal leadership, you know, spearheaded by a guy like Trace, to pull this back together and to show what kind of basketball these guys are capable of. And it's been a joy to watch them play the last 80 minutes. I fully concur, you know, Andy, with what you said, that, you know, this is not a program that has been really successful at stringing together victories and stringing together 120, 160 straight minutes of basketball. It always feels like there's a hiccup in there somewhere, even during the good stretches. And so this is a really big opportunity for this program to, you know, kind of get back to the conversation we were having earlier this season. You remember after the Xavier game, it was like, hey, this feels a little different. This is not a game that, you know, that Indiana would have won. And that's kind of how tonight was. You know, go on the road and win by 15 points, that's not something that a recent IU team was doing very often. And so now they can really show that things are different by backing it up again with another win at home against a good but not great Michigan State team. That is a game that you should expect for it to be a dogfight. But I think it's fair to expect Indiana to win. I think Indiana overall is more talented, has more options. You know, you're going to have to play well to do it. But I think this is a game that Indiana should be able to win at home. And if this is the team that we think they can be, and if this is an NCAA tournament team, this is probably a game that you go win. So let's go do it and keep the good feelings and the good basketball rolling, and, you know, and keep digging ourselves out of that early Big Ten hole and be right back there in the thick of the race. So we will look forward to that on Sunday. Nice time of the game. It starts at 12 Eastern, so it will not conflict with any of the NFL games. So we can watch the game, come watch the post-game show, and then settle in for what should be a good afternoon of NFL football to follow. But that will do it for us on this victorious episode of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you Sunday after IU Michigan State. Until then,
take it from me, Rob Finnessy. Keep your eyes on the rim and your elbows in. Go Hoosiers.
Do you remember the last time Indiana had this decisive of a victory at Illinois? It was one of Rob Finnessy's best games of his career, his freshman season.
That'd be 2019 then. Last time they won there.
It was not a very good Illinois team, but that was a terrific performance by Rob.
Was that when Underwood was still like really trying to like press the shit out of everybody, and then he changed his tune after he got roasted a few times.
Yes, and just one of those Rob Finnessy games where you're like, "Holy crap, this is okay. This guy's got something." But yeah.
So hey, a couple things. Number one, Andy's going to join me Monday night for doing the work.
Hey, okay.
Kathy's in Hawaii, so Andy's going to join me. We're also trying to get coached.
I was not offered the chance to go to Hawaii, just to be clear. I was offered the chance to be on the postgame show. The offer to Hawaii did not make it my way.
No, I wasn't offered to go. I wasn't offered to go to Hawaii either. But anyway, so Kathy won't be around. I do want to ask you, well, I'll wait till we end the broadcast, but then Thursday night, they have what should be a top five matchup or top 10 matchup.
Ohio State.
So we need to try and coordinate times.
The women take precedence. We will move Assembly Call Radio wherever we have to. This is a women's basketball team that has a chance to win a national championship and a Big Ten championship. You do the show after the game whenever you're ready, and we'll move our stuff around.
Okay. Well, it's a later start. It's like on Thursday, I want to say it's another one of those like 7:30 Central time or 7 o'clock Central. So I was thinking just maybe right as soon as you guys get done.
Yeah. We'll go early, whatever we need to do.
Yeah.
Whatever we need to do. Okay. Well, thanks for staying up late, guys. Thanks for everybody who's here in the chat. So much more fun to do these after wins and good performances. So let's keep it going on Sunday. Yep. All right, everybody. Talk to you all soon.
Good night, everybody.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Bye.
See you guys.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.